different now. It's very different now. It's different now. So different now.
Thank you, Brother Johnson. Good evening. Good to see such a good number out. I realize you could have chose to have been somewhere else tonight. And we thank you that you chose to be with us. And I know you already received the blessing from the music, from the quiz, and even from the prayer. I was blessed as Jensen prayed tonight. I really was. And that last song, the choir sang, is different now. That had a special meaning tonight to me. It's got to be different if you become a Christian. It's got to be different. If you have your Bibles, turn with me tonight to Psalms chapter 1. A familiar psalm, Psalm chapter 1. It's going to be mostly for the Christian tonight, and as the close, we'd like to bring a challenge to the unsaved. Psalm 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. But these next words are solemn words. It says, the ungodly are not so. They're not like the godly. But are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Sure, the Lord will bless our hearts the reading of his precious word. Tonight we want to look at the man blessed by God. Someone has said, if you want to be distressed, look within. And if we look within ourselves tonight, we will be distressed. But that's not what we want as Christians, is it? If we want to be defeated, look back. And if we look back over the wasted years of our lives and things that we cannot recall, we would be defeated. But that's not what we want tonight. If you want to be dismayed, someone said, look ahead. Man, sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. It's enough to alarm us for just today. But that's not what we want, to be alarmed or dismayed. So if you want to be distracted, look around. And if you look around us, we will be distracted. And if you want to be disappointed, look to man. And I'll tell you tonight, the best of men will let us down. But we don't want to be these things tonight. But if you want tonight to be delivered from all of these things, look to Christ. And if you're here without him tonight, and you want to be delivered from your sin, friends, it's the only one you could look to tonight is Jesus Christ. And if you want to be delighted, look up. Friends, Christian tonight, that's our hope. Heaven itself. That's where the Lord's going to come from and give the shout and take us forever to be with himself. True happiness is found only in God and his word. I remember we used to sing that chorus a lot. We don't sing it too often now. Happiness is to know the Savior. Living a life within his favor. Having a change in my behavior. Happiness is to know the Lord. You know this first psalm, for why it's a basis for all the other psalms that's going to follow, the other 150. This psalm provides a basis for that. Because it compares the happiness found in the Lord Jesus with the sadness of those who don't know him. Not only does it do that, the psalm opens by setting the record straight. Because it's just a sinful life. It's not a good life. And if every one of us look back and see what sin has done, even in this community, it has destroyed many of our young people. We'll say that a sinful life is not a good life. But the psalmist sets that right out in the very beginning and lets us know that. And the psalmist shows us the holiness and happiness of a godly man. And he shows us the sinfulness and misery of a wicked man. That's Psalm 1. It sets the old basis for the other psalms that's going to follow. But tonight we want to look at, with the time we have left, and I realize they don't have much time. It's only a 20-minute message we're supposed to have any hour. And I'm going to try and finish on time. But tonight we're going to look at 3 points. And if you're like me, losing your memory, seemingly I'm losing mine every day, I can remember better with points if you give me an outline. So tonight, we're going to look at the three simple points, and they're all going to begin with an S, and they're going to end with a W. So that's easy to remember. First, we're going to look at one who is separated from the world, the Christian. Separated S, W from the world. Then we're going to look at one who ought to be saturated with the Word. Then we want to look at situated by the water. Separated. Saturated, situated. That's not hard to remember. And I hope you'll remember the message easily and go over it in your mind even through the rest of the week. A man blessed by God is separated from the world. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 6 and 14, what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? Friends tonight, Christian, young people, middle-aged, old folks, it has nothing. Righteousness and unrighteousness is opposite. They're different. They don't have no agreement. And then Paul goes on to say, what communion hath light with darkness? Light dispels darkness. There's no communion there with that. There's no fellowship with righteousness and unrighteousness. So Paul says, therefore, come from out among them and be ye separate. Young people tonight. Middle-aged, older folk, we must be separate, different from the world. A man blessed by God is separated from the world. His character is different. You see, he's known, it says here in Psalm 1 and verse 1, he's known by the things he does not do. Listen to what he says. He walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. And tonight, I want to take just a couple of minutes to look at the walk of a Christian. A Christian should walk in the commandments of the Lord, shouldn't he? Paul says in Galatians 5:16, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Meaning, have a habit of continually walking in the power and the direction of the Holy Spirit. I tell you, if we do that, will be different. Simple words, he's saying, let the Spirit of God rule your life. He'll direct you. He'll never carry you in a pitfall. Watch your walk. Walk in the Spirit. Then Paul says, walk in love. Ephesians 5 and 2. As Christ also hath loved us and gave himself for us. How was Christ's love? I'll tell you, his love was one of forgiveness, wasn't it? Every one of us will agree with that tonight. Being spit upon, a crown of thorns, being whipped 39 times, beard plucked from his face, buffeted in his face, put on a cross, and he says, Father, forgive them. His love was one of forgiveness. I wonder tonight, if we have love like his, are we following his example tonight? Or we can't forgive maybe a brother or sister for some small thing, compared to what Christ forgave us. His love was one of forgiveness. His love was one of sacrifice. He gave his life. He gave everything. I wonder tonight, I speak to myself more than anyone else, how much am I willing to sacrifice for him? You know, when I think of some of the little things I do, sometimes I want to say, well, that was a sacrifice. But then when I look at the Savior, I realize it's no sacrifice at all compared to him. Walk in love as Christ walked. And then Paul says, walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Friends, Christians tonight, it takes wise walking as well as wise talking to win the lost for Christ. May God help us to be wise in our walk, the places we go, and the things we say, that others will see Christ in us. You see, the walk Paul's talking about here refers to our behavior. We must be consistent and avoid everything that would turn the unsaved away, and do everything according to God's word that would win them for Christ. So that's redeeming the time, making use of every opportunity. One example in the scripture of a man who walked with God, and that was Enoch. And he says, Enoch walked with God and was not, for God took him. Enoch lived in the most wicked time in history. I believe even since that time till now has not been as wicked as it was then, because God destroyed the old world because of its wickedness. And I believe Enoch was persecuted for taking a stand. Listen, Christian, you will get slandered. You will get talked about for taking a stand. But the thing I see in Enoch is this. And if you forget all else I said tonight, remember this. Enoch started well. And Enoch finished well. I trust, Christian, tonight, that will be our desire. We started out well, and we will not give up, and we'll finish well. Said we look around, even here in our little community, and we see some, and it breaks our hearts. They started well. They got up and prayed in the prayer meetings, and my heart was touched. But they seemingly not going on so well. And if you find yourself in that condition tonight, cry out like David, restore unto me the joy of my salvation. Not your salvation, the joy of it. And get back into fellowship with God and with his people. God's question is, can two walk together except they be agreed? The answer is no. You can't. Looking at this man, he not only walks, he doesn't walk in the way of the ungodly, but he doesn't stand with them. No identification with the world, not this man. He was doing what the sinner does. And sad to say, we see so many who name the name of Christ wanting to do the things that the sinner does and not the things that God requires of a Christian. And then this guy, he sits not. You got to see how it starts. First, he don't even walk with them. Then he won't even stand with them, and he won't even sit with them. He sits not in the seat of the scornful. He has no fellowship with the ungodly or those who scorn God. Christian, tonight, don't sit with those who mock God. You know, sometimes you turn on the television, or you're getting company with people, and they mock God. They mock hell, about eternity in heaven. You know, they got a lofty seat right now. But one day they won't, their seat will be empty. They'll stand before a holy God. Christians stand out. Secondly, this man blessed by God is saturated with the word. He says he delights in it. His delight, he says, is in the law of the Lord. And in it doth he meditate day and night. You might say, well, what is it in the word for the believer to delight in anyhow? Listen, friends, tonight, if you're a Christian, and if you're not a Christian, the Lord Jesus is in the words. That's something for the saint to delight on. The cross is there. Heaven's there. Forgiveness of sins is there. That's something to delight about tonight. He delights in it. Jeremiah 15:16 says this, thy word were found and I did eat them, and thy word was unto me the rejoicing of my heart. Is the word of God that to me? Is the word of God that to you tonight? I trust it is. He not only delights in it, he says he meditates on it. To meditate means to ponder over it. He ponders it over and over, one who is saturated with the word. The psalmist says, thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. You've already said over and over, sin will keep you from the word. but the word will keep you from sinning. Someone has said it like this. The best book in the world is the Bible. The best place to put it is in the heart. The best reason is to put it there is to stop us from sinning from God, sinning against God. Paul puts it like this in Philippians 4:8. Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, pure, lovely, of good report, if there be any virtue, any praise, think on these things, meditate on those things. You'll say, Freddie, why should I ever? I got to be constantly meditating on things that are honest, pure, lovely, things that are praised. Why? Why? Because the scripture says this. For as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. If you think things that are not pure, not holy, not good, friends, that's the things that you will come out of your mouth. In other words, holy thinking produces holy living. Unholy thinking produces unholy living. That can't be any simpler. This man not only delights in it, meditates in the word, this man continues in it. And it says, night and day. And the proof of discipleship is continuance. Acts 2:42 says they continued. And I like the next word, steadfastly. They didn't budge in the apostles' doctrine, fellowship, the breaking of bread, and prayers. Listen tonight, and I talk to you from my heart tonight. You must be steadfast. You must be continuous. Not just come one night, miss another night, come another. Listen, it's important. The breaking of bread, and I've said this here before, I wasted much of my Christian life and didn't come to remember the Lord. And I weep some Sunday mornings when I come here, when I realize what I missed, because I can't recall it. It's nothing, nothing, listen, it's nothing like being here. You must be here to experience it. Says they continued steadfast. They didn't forget it. They, in the prayer meeting, they were there. In the teaching meeting, they were there. That's the person who's saturated with the word. My time is almost gone. Finally, situated by the water. Let me tell you, if you're situated by the water, you're going to give out fruit. Fruit's going to come. I was down in my friend's yard maybe a month ago, and he showed me a stock of bananas. I was thinking of it today. At 8 bunches. You know why? He said, look, the washing machine water runs there every time it washes. Situated by the water, it produces fruit. Listen, Christian, if you're saturated with the word of God, you're going to produce fruit. Fruit has got to come. It says, fruit in its season. And I had to think about that. What are you talking about here? I say to the psalmist, fruit in its season. Listen, patience will come in a time of affliction. That's the fruit in its season. Gratitude will come in a time of prosperity. Zeal will come in a time of opportunity. When the prayer meeting comes, we'll be there. When the worship meeting comes, you see, that's the fruit that will bear. Paul says this, I desire fruit that may abound in your account. The fruit that Paul is talking about is our return on our investments, what we give to God, of our time, whatever. Paul reminds the saints, look, God keeps good books and God pays big dividends. And one day we will be rewarded. As I bring the message to a close, if I did not mention that last part of the ungodly, I wouldn't be fair to this passage of scripture tonight. And this is where the said note comes in, the condemnation of the ungodly. The said words, says the ungodly in verse 4, are not so. Their words no more says than chaff. Says they are not like the godly. They're not well planted. They're not fruitful. They're not enduring. When the storm comes, they're unstable. And it says this, they shall stand in the judgment one day. Friends, tonight, if you're here without Christ, and you've never placed your faith and trust in Him, one day you'll stand, there'll be no defense, and you'll be declared guilty, and you'll be in a place but you cannot change it. You can't get there and say, I don't like this here. I'll pick up and go somewhere else. Friend, you'll be there forever and ever and ever. He says the ungodly are not like the godly. He says you won't stand in the congregation of the righteous. He says, you know what? You'll be forever excluded from the Christian, from God in that day. You know, as I bring the message to close tonight, you have to note two kinds of men mentioned there, the godly and the ungodly. You have to notice two ways, the righteous and the unrighteous. And you have to notice two destinies, eternal life and eternal death. You can't read that psalm without examining your destiny. Where will it be tonight? The Lord says, enter in at the straight gate, because broad is the gate. That will take you to destruction, but that straight gate, that narrow way, will take you into life eternal. Moses said this, see, I have set before you this day life and good, death and evil. Life if you obey, death if you disobey. Moses pleaded with them to choose life over death. Friends, tonight, as I close, I plead with you to choose life over death. I choose you to choose life instead of death that will bring a curse forever. Trust you'll be wise tonight and make that right choice. I close with this short story. A father had sent his daughter off to school to further her education. While she was off to school, she did well. But one night she went out to a gospel meeting and she accepted the Lord as her Savior. She decided that night that she wanted to be a missionary. She was going out into the field and serve the Lord. She wrote home and told Dad. Dad got that message. He called her and said, get home right away. The first train out. She obeyed Daddy, came home. Says, listen here, my dad didn't send you away to get religion. That's for the poor. That's for the half-wits. That's not for a girl like you. I'll give you this night to think it over. Tomorrow morning, if you still decide that you're going to be a Christian, you pack up your clothes and leave. That young girl went to bed weeping that night, on her knees all night. She knew she would lose family, mother, daddy, wealth, everything. But the Lord saw her through that night. She decided. She packed her suitcase. The next morning as she came down over those stairs with the tears flowing down her cheeks, she saw the piano and she walked over to the piano and began to play. And this is the words she sang as she played. Jesus, I my cross have taken, all to leave and follow thee. Destitute, despised, forsaken, thou from hence my all shall be. Perish every fond ambition, all I've sought and hoped of knows as that could go. Yet, she says, although I'm going to lose all that, although I'm going to lose that, yet how rich is my condition. God and heaven are still my own. She got up from that piano with tears streaming down her face and went to the door to open the door, and her daddy was behind that curtain listening as she sang. He ran out with tears streaming down his face. Said, my dear, I never knew that the Lord Jesus meant that much to you. If he means that much to you and could do that much for you, I want to know him as my Savior too. And she led her daddy to the Lord. Young people, I say that story, give that story tonight special for you. It's a challenge to all of us. Well, are we willing to go that far for the Lord tonight? Are we willing to make a difference from here on out tonight? Lord, it doesn't matter. I give all for you tonight. I trust so. And friends, if you're here tonight and you don't know the Lord, why not change your life like that young girl did? God could do that same thing for you tonight and be a witness for him here in this community. Shall we pray? Quietness of this meeting tonight, friends, if you're here tonight and you've never trusted Christ as Savior, right where you're seated right now, you don't have to even pray out loud. Just simply say, Lord Jesus, I will trust you. Right now, I'll have you come into my life and forgive my sin tonight. He says, you know, he'll do that. We had the joy yesterday of seeing two people trust the Lord up there in Governor's Harbor again. A woman in her 60s and a man in his 40s out on the sea link. Open their heart to the Lord. Friends, right here. You don't have to come forward here tonight. You don't have to raise your hand tonight. But right where you're seated, say, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. Right now, I want to receive you as my Savior. You know, he'll forgive you tonight. Christians tonight, this message is a challenge to me all day. I sometimes try to get away from it. I trust tonight that we'll be willing to lay all on the altar for him as well and be a difference. Father, tonight, we realize it will be every believer's desire here tonight is to be separate from the world and a more desire to be saturated with the Word of God and then to be situated by that water and bring forth fruit for you. For the lost, oh God, we pray if it's one here never trusted Christ as Savior, that even before they leave this meeting tonight, they'll open their heart to him and let him in. We ask it all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you so much, friends, for bearing with me a couple minutes over. If you need any help, we're your servants for Christ's sake.